Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Were Born for This podcast with Father John Ricardo Mary Guilfoyle. We're a couple of missionaries at Acts 29. And this is the podcast where we talk about the Word of God, especially the first reading for the Sunday coming up and how it can bring absolute transformation to our lives. Mary, how are you?
I'm doing very good, Father John. And I have to tell you, I'm excited to have this conversation with our friends today.
Yeah, it's like we just encountered a couple of people recently who are much like the person we're going to hear about in this reading you're about to proclaim.
Are they ever?
So let us pray. Oh, what's our topic?
Our topic for today is, are we Christians at risk?
Oh, I hope not, but I fear I am. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, we hear in the scriptures that we're about to proclaim the healing of a man who encounters your Son, mediated through the words of St. Peter. And so I just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would enable Mary and myself, broken as we are, to be like Peter and to mediate your Son to anybody who's listening who in any way is lame, sad, discouraged, depressed, fearful, anxious, hopeless, whatever the case might be. Wherever we might be right now, Lord, in the gym, in our car, at home, in bed, help us to meet your Son and to be put back on our feet and to walk again and to be filled with life. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So next Sunday's reading comes from Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved."
So let's try to summarize all that we feel like the Lord's trying to give us to share by trying to do three things. Let's talk about this reading. Let's talk about two people that we had a chance to encounter recently. And then let's try to apply that to our lives collectively. Huh? So first, this man and this reading. So this is Acts 4, as you said, and this context is still the continuation of the result of what happened at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, which is the first miracle in the Acts of the Apostles. And it's a man who's been crippled from birth who encounters Peter and John. He's looking for alms. Peter says, "Look at us." The guy's hoping to get some cash. He doesn't get cash. Peter says, "We don't have any money, but don't worry. What we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." This creates, as you can imagine, an uproar.
Quite a show.
So crowds just start to gather around Peter and around John and around the man who's now able to walk. And the religious leaders start grilling Peter and John. Like, what's up with this? What happened to this guy? So the crippled man gets healed. He gets healed by Jesus, but Jesus is mediated, we could say. That was a word that one of my teachers used to use all the time, which I think is helpful. He was mediated to the crippled man through the preaching and the teaching of Peter and of John. So this guy had, even though he didn't really know it at the time, an extraordinary encounter with Jesus. Right? And then he has to learn afterwards who this Jesus is, right? Who's made him well.
Right.
So you and I just had, not too long ago, a conversation with two people. One just happened to be a man. One just happened to be a woman. Both really successful. Like, in the world's eyes, they had everything, right?
Story straight out of the Gospels, Father John. We were captivated.
Yeah.
As they shared their encounters with Jesus.
One person like the rich young man. The other person, like a whole host of stories of the women in the Gospels, who both had incredible encounters with God. They'd both grown up Catholic, right?
And both would describe themselves as somewhat nominal,
Yeah.
Had kind of fallen away to a certain degree. And kind of
like a foot in both worlds.
Yeah, and that's actually how the gentleman described himself. I had a foot in both places.
Yeah.
The world and the church. And this rigorous, dramatic interior struggle that was happening inside of him.
Yeah.
As he was finding out that so much of what he put all of his energy in ended up leaving him empty and disappointed to the point of anger.
Yeah, he was actually angry. I thought it was so profound to hear him. Like, this guy he's the kind of person, if you were to hear his story and what he's done and where he's been, other people would look at him and go, man, you must have
everything.
All.
Yeah.
And he was just absolutely angry at, hey, I got it all, and why am I not fulfilled? And then the other person, the woman, again, very successful, has it all, in depression, and actually almost lost her life. I mean, we can't get into the details. We'll save it for her to share it sometime when she's gone public with this. But, like, she could have died.
Absolutely.
And God dramatically rescued her. But both of these people had really profound encounters with God. They are now living drastically different lives, right? Mm-hmm. Totally reoriented around Jesus. And again, it's because they had an encounter. And you know, as I was listening to both of them, I kept thinking, I'll bet none of your friends understand.
Get you.
Yeah. Like, and the reason is because I think most people, so Pope Benedict said one time, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea. But I think that's what most people think being a Christian is. Mm-hmm. It's a lifestyle.
It's a code of conduct.
Yeah.
It's sometimes Christianity can be perceived as a cause or a code of living or a series of boxes that I have to check rather than this living relationship with Jesus. And I would say too, Father John, our two friends that were with us would say that they knew about him.
Yeah.
But they actually met him.
Yeah, so that's what Benedict goes on to say, right? It's not those things. It's a result of an encounter with an event. And man, did they have events. A person which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction.
And you know, I want to share something that the gentleman had shared with us. Because I think it's so compelling, because I think when you talk about the disconnect between you're sitting with family and friends and they just don't get you, he actually said he heard the Lord say, I was wrong about everything. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes if we distill it all down, we really don't understand what the life of a Christian is supposed to look like, feel like, touch, taste, all that. And now they know that, and it looks nothing. At all like it did before. And then he followed it up with this line. He said something, and it's all true. Meaning everything that you've heard about, read about in the Gospels, it's true. And that's the one he met.
Yeah, you know, even as you're saying that, it makes me think of, it's again Pope Benedict, when he went to New York City, I don't remember if it was in St. Patrick's Cathedral or whatnot, and he might have even been quoting Nathaniel Hawthorne here, I don't remember. But I remember what he said. He said, Christianity is a lot like stained glass windows. This
Say
is an
more.
Awesome image. From the outside, they just look dull. You can't see anything from the outside looking at a stained glass window.
Yeah.
It just looks heavy, kind of drab, dull, nondescript. But then you walk into the church, and from inside the church, the light shines through the stained glass windows, and you look and you go, oh my gosh, like I didn't see any of that from outside.
I love
it's
that.
Only being inside that I can see the color and the beauty and the scene. And he said, that's what Christianity is like. Christianity from the outside, meaning without having had the encounter. Just looks dull.
Not interesting. Nothing I want to check out.
But to be inside is to go, oh no. Yeah. I have a friendship with somebody who makes cripples walk and blind see and the dead come to life.
And lives turned upside down.
Absolutely.
You know, talking with our friends a set of days ago, it was like actually sitting with like maybe what it must have been like to sit with Magdalene or to sit with this lame man. And I don't know about you, but there's something about the power of story, Father John. I love teachers too. I listen to teachers all the time. I listen to anointed preachers all the time, but I felt like I was listening to a witness today, like straight out of the scriptures. And it reminds me of something. Who was it? Pope Paul VI, he said something like, modern man listens more willing to witnesses, right, than to teachers. And they'll only listen to teachers if they're witnesses. Yeah. They were witnesses to what Jesus had done. And just like, you know, the Sadducees were witnesses, like they were hearing Peter and John testify to what had happened. It's so compelling and it's so attractive. And again, it's just left a mark on our lives. But can we talk about why we've titled our conversation what we've titled? Because I think we're getting to a key point that so important.
I think what's important is if you're listening and you go, wow, I wish I could have an encounter with that. Well, you can. That's really important. You can. And in fact, God wants to encounter you and me. It's not on us. It's on him. And the proof that he wants this to happen is the cross. Like the cross tells me God will go to
great lengths,
stupid extremes,
unfathomable
to
lengths,
get us in relationship with himself. And so a Christian at risk, or to ask the question, are we Christians at risk? It actually comes from Pope John Paul II. He wrote a letter one time, and in it he says, Christians who don't pray are Christians at risk. And so maybe there's a kind of a twofold challenge here or exhortation to us, because I think everybody who's probably listening is going to fall into one of these two camps, or you wouldn't be listening to a podcast like this. The first is some of us already have a really well-established habit of prayer. Like for whatever reason, we've gotten into the discipline of set time every day to pray. And that's what we do in that time. It's like a standing appointment with somebody. It just happens to be with God. But I don't know about you. I know it's true for me. Like I bring it to confession all the time. My amount of time, like the amount of time I give to the Lord every day is constant. The personal dimension of it fluctuates greatly. And that's on me, because sometimes I just fill the time with reading, like reading spiritual reading or reading the Liturgy of the Hours or even reading scripture, which I know is the Lord talking to me. But what I fight oftentimes is really giving time to the Lord to talk to me.
I think So first of all, I appreciate that so much. And I think I could say the same thing, obviously. But how God talks to you, I think, is so important to know. And our sister who was sitting with us not a set of days ago, she said something that caught my ear relative to what you just shared. And it was something like God knew how to speak to me.
Yeah.
He knew how to get to me.
Yep.
And so that personal dimension, you know, at the end of the day, you know, how do we establish, you know, a routine or a habit of prayer? Is simply just show up.
Yeah.
And if we show up and if we declutter our prayer, if we don't fill it up with a lot of stuff, not that the spiritual reading is not good stuff, but if we quiet ourselves from the noise of our minds and our hearts and we allow him to speak to us, he'll speak to us in a way that's so unique to us.
Yeah.
That is exactly what you need to hear, how you need to hear it.
Right.
And so there's something to how he'll speak and the tone with which he speaks. And it requires just this constancy. But both of them had said that they had fallen out of prayer.
Yep, and that's the second category of person.
Yeah.
First category is for those of us who already have the discipline, how about we make a really concerted effort this week to make sure we're giving some time every day just to listen, just to come before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you have for me today?
Oh, I love
mindful
that.
Of what you just said. Lord, I know you know how to communicate with me. But again, my honest struggle is I sit still because I have this habit of prayer. But it can get awkward even for me. I'm a priest of almost 30 years, for gosh sakes, and I've been doing this for 40 years of a holy hour every morning, and it's still a struggle for me to just listen. So for any of you else out there like that, that's the exhortation to us. Make time to listen and to say to the Lord, you know me, you know how to talk to me. Mm-hmm. What do you want to say to me? So that I can encounter you like the lame man and like these two people we were talking about. The second category of people is those of us who know I should be praying, but if I'm honest with myself, I don't. Or I content myself with saying some prayers every day. And so the exhortation to us might be, how about this week? Maybe you're going to start with 20 minutes, and I'm going to put it in my calendar. It's going to be like a meeting I've got every day at a time when you know you can keep it. And so that we don't fall into that category that John Paul talks about of being a Christian at risk who doesn't pray. I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to dare you. I don't want to hear stories about other people that met you. I want to meet you because I want my life to get turned upside down. I want to be able to say I've met Jesus, perhaps in a way I've never met him. I've heard about him, like you were saying, these two people said. But I want to be able to say I've met him.
That changes everything.
Yeah, doesn't that's, it? Yeah. So let's not be Christians at risk. If we're already praying, let's make sure we're given time to the Lord to talk back to us. And if we're, again, this isn't a test. No one's gonna look at your paper. If I'm really not praying yet, and I'm reducing Christianity to be a lifestyle choice or a philosophy as opposed to a living friendship, well, the way you build a friendship is you spend time with somebody, right?
Amen, amen.
So let's make time this week to just waste with the King and ask him to help us to encounter him so that, because I know there are lots of people listening who are just like that man and the woman. They've got a lot that the world would say should make me happy. And it's all good, but it's not satisfying.
It's just incomplete.
Yeah, only God can satisfy because I'm made for him, right? Our hearts are restless, Augustine said, and they always will be until they finally rest in the Lord. So that's the exhortation. Let's be with the King this week. Let's encounter him, and then let's be like Peter and John and go out and be able to tell others, no, I've met somebody, and he's alive, and he's given me back my life, and he's enabled me to see and to walk. He's made everything different. And brothers and sisters, all of this is true. So do not be afraid. God is with you, and you were born for this.
Hello, friends. This is Mary Guilfoyle with X29. Thanks so much for listening. If you're interested in knowing more about our mission, check out our website at x29.org. That's ACTSXXIX.org, where you can learn more about who we are and what God has called us to do. And while you're there, you can also subscribe to Father John's weekly blog, Thoughts from the Trailer, as well as access the Rescue Project. We also invite you to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. And please pray for us and be assured of our prayers and gratitude for each and every one of you. We look forward to you tuning in next week. God bless you.